Hello, my name is Fletch Matlack, and I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in New Hartford, and I'm your pastor for the day. Right now at Emmanuel, I'm preaching through the Gospel of Matthew, and we are currently in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this familiar passage from Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Jesus lays out these four scenarios, and I'm going to breeze through them. Scenario one, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus is really talking about a backhanded slap to the face, the most spectacular and demeaning offense of the time. It's a spectacular offense, even by today's standards. If someone offends you, disrespects you in the worst possible way, offer them the opportunity to do it again. Turn the other cheek. Scenario two, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. According to Mosaic law, it was forbidden to take another person's cloak. Possessing a cloak was considered a basic human right. But Jesus says if someone sues you and takes the shirt off your back, then freely offer them the cloak as well. In other words, give up your rights for the sake of another. Scenario three, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. In Jesus' day, under severe penalty, the Romans could conscript people for temporary forced labor, like carrying heavy loads as a porter. Jesus says, even if someone oppresses you, lay your own burdens aside and carry theirs, and serve your oppressor even beyond their expectations. Okay, scenario four, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Growing up in southern Pennsylvania, I had many excursions into Philadelphia. Every street in Center City seems to have its people asking for money. And Philly, especially right now, has a terrible drug problem. It's so hard to justify giving money to anyone who's asking for it. And then I've been to neighborhoods in Zambia, slums in Costa Rica, refugee camps in Iraq, where at any moment you could be surrounded by swarms of begging children, and there is no way I had enough for everyone. Yet to give to one and not another would only heighten the tension and desperation of that moment. But regardless of the situation, and whatever the beggar will do with your money, Jesus says, give to the one who begs from you. It's unqualified, open-ended. There's no restriction, just like the rest of these scenarios. A person begs, they ask, you give. Now, to be clear, Jesus is not giving his disciples dictates that are meant to be followed with precision and rigidity. Rather, he is giving us a principle of humble, self-sacrificial love that is meant to govern our hearts. It's the very same love at the center of his own heart. In fact, it's exactly how he has loved us. Constantly surrounded by the begging masses, Jesus fed and healed and had compassion with unbounded patience and generosity. When on trial, the Son of God was slapped in the face and he was spit upon. He was forced to carry the Roman cross until his body gave way beneath its weight. They took his cloak and gambled it away, leaving him to hang naked upon the cross. And in all of this, evil as his persecutors were, with supreme meekness and love, Jesus gave no resistance. And as he hung there dying, he prayed for those who persecuted him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stripped of all dignity, in agony and shame, Jesus died for his enemies. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5, 7, and 8. We were the enemies that have been redeemed, reconciled unto God. And so when we see the beggar, the oppressor, the offensive individual, we are obligated by no regulations. Rather, we are governed by an otherworldly love. Let us therefore live as sons and daughters of the perfect one, having been newly created, reconciled unto God, so that we may love as Christ loves. My name is Fletch Matlack, and I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in New Hartford, and I'm your pastor for the day.